Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about the concept of time and ages and how God moves and communicates with us based on goals that He has for a particular season of time. Now, some other point in time, we'll look at people's experiences that are recorded in scriptures that sought after God outside of their time and how He responded. But for right now, we're just looking at how He generally reveals Himself and draws us to Him based on the time and times we are living in. And so we had talked about the age of law and the age of grace and how there was an overlap of those two. One thing I want to point out is we have a tendency to want to predict the future, and yet we can really only discern what God's goals are looking back. So often in our own lives, we can only see how God arranged circumstances, provided choices, and brought us to certain points in our life in retrospect, looking back. Even when Moses was leading the people into the promised land, he asked God, "How will I know this is the right thing to do? That this is what you want and that you're really the God and this is how this is supposed to work?" And God's reply was, "After I've the people into freedom, then you'll know." In other words, looking back, we'll know. And so often, we want to know ahead of time. And because we don't know ahead of time, we don't take the next step. We hold back our commitment to Him, and this is not about to a thing or a person or a group, but our commitment to Him, our trust, our confidence. And this is always comes back to being able to hear Him clearly for ourselves. When you know you are hearing Him and that you're available to hear Him, and you have that relationship with Him because you have experienced His love for you, then we can move forward even when we can't see beyond the next step. And sometimes even then, we simply are asked by God to simply raise our foot and lean forward. And as we bring our foot down, He guides where it lands. We can learn that He's faithful by His proving His faithfulness. We learn he loves us and takes care of us because he loves us and takes care of us. It's not something we can be taught or even that we trust in by faith. It is only by experience that we learn so much about God. So as he arranges the circumstances in your life, we can ask, Lord, what is it that I'm learning? Now, we're always learning something. And a lot of times, we're learning something we don't even know until after the fact. Because very often, if our soul, our mind and will and emotions got involved with what God was doing, we would interfere with it. We would try to help. And most of the time, well, all the time, God doesn't need our help. But sometimes he lets us participate with him and be with him while he does things. And this is part of the an honor of being that king that seeks out the treasure that God has hidden. Can you keep a secret? Can you know a thing? Can you know what God is doing? And unless he says, okay, time to share it, can you keep it quiet? Can you keep it to yourself? Can he trust you? So we learn his ways of doing things. And his ways are not our ways. We look for purpose in everything. And God looks for a relationship. You are his purpose. You are what he's in your life for. It's not to accomplish something else. It's not for a ministry or revealing himself. Those may be part of your tasks that he assigns you, but that's not what he's about. He's about you. So even this concept of time comes back to, how does God reveal himself and speak and relate to people? Regardless of what age, what time period, God has always revealed himself in one way, shape, or form. He's always speaking in one way or another. During the age of knowledge, God spoke to man through the law. Boundaries of those laws defined the relationships between people, between man and his environment, and between man and his God. Those were all determined by the law. How to worship God, how to treat your neighbor. And it was a matter of pleasing God through how well you fulfilled the law. But that's how he related to his people. That's how he spoke. And he also spoke through people. But they were special people. God did not speak openly to everyone, even though he would occasionally send signs and wonders or punishment to all his people. But the fullness of that time came and when grace was introduced into the mix at the resurrection. So now God speaks to all of his creation by and through his Son. When you look at Christianity is different from all other world religions, or lack thereof, atheism, any agnosticism. It is only in Christianity that each person has a personal relationship with a personal God. No other religion is centered around relationship with God, with a living God. There's wonderful teachings and there's wonderful experience of levels, but there's only one living God that reveals himself on a personal level. Now, this is that significant differentiation between the two ages of law and grace. Under law, man could relate to a holy God only through measuring up to his standards and keeping his commandments. In other words, by performing certain behaviors, by acting a certain way, doing a certain thing, accomplishing certain goals. Now, this was, because it was behavior-based, this was clearly a surface relationship. And to maintain this surface relationship, you always had to be on your best behavior. Over time, when there became more and more, not just laws, but precepts and guidelines even, it became harder and harder to follow every single one of them. And if you didn't fully complete every single law and precept and guideline, you were displeasing to God. But not so in the age of grace. Through his Son, that veil was rent and the debt was paid. And we can now be reborn, already fulfilling every single one of those laws. We talked before, the law is a good thing. It's doing exactly what God wanted it to do. But once it has done that, it is no longer a part of our life as we learn to live as a spirit being. God created us now to be his sons, and we are now members of his family. Often, we are in relationship with God in spite of our behavior. He doesn't hold it against us because it's not us. Your spirit does not have behavior. Just as God describes himself as I am, your spirit is. It's not a doer, it's a being. God has given us a new heart, a new nature, and a new identity. In whatever age to come, he will continue to speak through his Son. But I suspect it will be a multi-membered, mature Son that hopefully you and I are part of. Just as those who lived in Jesus' time did not know that the age was changing. They were just going about their day-to-day business. In Jerusalem, there was a lot of turmoil, but everywhere else, everybody just went about their day-to-day duties. And yet one day, the sacrifice of the Lamb satisfied God. And then the next day, it didn't. Because the final Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was slain. And no more animal sacrifice needed to be done. But they still did it because they didn't know. They didn't know the change that had happened. So even you and I, we may not recognize the age we're living in, maybe even in our lifetime. And God does things in our own lives where we don't see what he's doing except in hindsight. And we go, okay, I don't know what happened, but something has changed. And we just say, thank you. Lord, do you want to talk about it? And we acknowledge and recognize and are grateful for what he has done. But we don't try to draw conclusions from it. We still see in part. I don't think we're yet able, our souls, our soul, our mind, our will and emotions are still not ready. They've not been healed enough. They've not been enlightened into and brought into this, our spirit enough where we would be able to even survive an encounter with truth. But I expect someday that that will happen. Just as the promise was given that a Messiah would come to fulfill the promise, likewise, that many-membered son will be brought forth in an appropriate generation in his time. So we don't need to look at for the times and the seasons according to how people are behaving. We look at what is God doing in us. And when we draw conclusions about what's going on in the world based on people's behaviors, whether for good or for bad, we are denying God's opportunity to speak a whole different truth to us. So we say instead, Lord, what's going on in me? What have you got for me? What wound needs to be healed? Is there a lie that I've been believing? Is there a belief I need to change? Is there a gift you want to exercise in me? Lord, I'm willing, I'm available. Anything you want to do or say, or not. If we're just good right where we are, that's fine too. Because this is part of that whole, okay, we have to be working on something. But most of the time, while God's working on it, he doesn't even let us know. And then when it's time to do the finishing touches, that's when he brings us in. So we may be thinking, oh, God's doing a short work, a quick work in us. And yet he may have been working on something for years, maybe even decades, maybe even our entire life, or even generations. And that's totally on his timetable. He knows what you need, and he knows when you need it. And he knows and is arranging what is coming next. We seem to think that God's plans are so dependent on how well we're doing that if we hadn't done such and such, then there'd be peace in the Middle East. Or somebody different would be president. Or there'd be a revival. But that Christians blew it. Or evil is stronger than God. We look for an explanation as to why things aren't the way we think they should be, rather than asking God and then settling and saying, okay, I accept that things are right on track, that things are going exactly the way you want them to. And when we can let go of the distractions and trust that God knows not only what's going on, but he has planned and strategized for exactly what's going on. Now, I always think of the story of Job, where the devil, Satan, and God are fighting or arguing over God's servant Job. And God boasts about him, about what a great guy he is. And Satan says, well, the only reason he's such a great guy is because he's never been tested. You let me test him, and we'll find out how quickly he turns against you. For some reason, God says, well, go ahead, go at it. Well, so he goes after Job, and he kills his animals, and he kills his children, and he takes away everything, his health, and destroys everything that he had. And yet Job still... Now, I always thought that that was very unfair. Why did his children have to be part of the test? Why did all those animals have to be killed and all the children and everything that was about Job, why did they all have to be sacrificed in order for one man, Job, to be proven faithful? And this is one of those examples where I just think that everything that's going on this earth is all there is a credence to the whole idea that there is so much more than what we experience here. And I think when we look at what is going on in the world, for instance, the horrendous persecution of Christians at the hands of Islamists, they can't even report it. It's so bad. Why is that happening? If God cared about them, if God was God, wouldn't he stop it? And there's no answer that will take away the question. We just say, the Lord knows what he's doing, and he's doing what is the loving and kind thing. Now, these martyrs, these people who are dying and being killed for their faith, maybe they do have a greater reward in whatever's coming next. Or maybe they're paying for something that they didn't, learning something that they didn't learn in a previous age. We don't know. And that's the whole point, is we don't want to draw conclusions in areas we don't know, we don't have the information for. So this is how we start thinking about time as it relates to the different realms of reality, the spiritual, the supernatural, or the soulical, and the natural. And as we start pulling back on how we perceive time, we start revisiting our beliefs and our assumptions and how we let go of our need to draw conclusions. Now, God's way of revealing himself to us, to creation, changes over time. And it also is different according to the realm of reality. And again, that's just my phrase. If you understand it different, if whatever you're learning or believing is bringing you into that relationship with God where you were receiving life from him, and whatever phrase you want to use, that's fine. But time and our perception of it affects the different realms of reality in which we exist, just as God's purposes and the way he reveals himself change over time as reflected in each age. So again, the three realms of reality, and in the description of this program, the very beginning, is a link to that chart on the website. So if you want to follow along as we start going through this, it's a very broad, didn't go into great specifics with that chart because we want to keep it simple. We don't want to get, this is not a study of the three realms of reality. It's the goal is to be able to go to the Lord and ask him, am I making assumptions in my soul that only apply to the spirit or the natural realm? It is simply a way of communicating with God and with others and with ourselves in a different way. And one of the most important and significant areas is, again, to understand the distinction between your supernatural, this, where your soulical being is, and the spirit realm. That if you have been born again in your spirit, you are eternal in your spirit. You already have eternal life in your spirit. But you have the same soul that you had before you became a spirit. And that's where we're working, to bring that soul in back into alignment the way God first created man, spirit, soul, and body. We're walking around body, soul, spirit. When we meet each other, when we look at each other, when we see ourselves, we don't see our spirit first. We don't see our soul first. We see our body. Think about it when Adam and Eve were roaming around at first. They didn't see their nakedness because their spirit was on the outside. They communed with God, spirit to spirit. They communed with each other, spirit to spirit. But then the next age came, and they died in their spirit. So all of a sudden, they communicated with each other. They related to one another according to their soul and according to their body. But now that we've been reborn, we are returning to that alignment, spirit, soul, and body, where we can commune with each other, spirit to spirit, commune with God, spirit to spirit. And our soul is being brought into that, into proper alignment. And part of that process is for those wounds to be healed, the beliefs to be replaced by truth, and all things being summed up in him. So we'll get into the time in the three realms of reality next week. Until then, you can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Use Blog Talk Radio. There's also a contact information, a contact form on the site. So until next week, same time, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.